God, are you there? Hear my prayer. I don't know if any of you guys have ever asked that question, had that thought in your head as you come before God and you start praying and you talk to him. Have you ever thought about that question? God, are you there? Do you care? Are you listening? Do you care about what's going on in my life? You know, over the last couple weeks, we've been talking about prayer. We've been going through this Lord's Prayer. And we've been looking at things at how, you know, prayer is a conversation with God. You know, God doesn't want us, we don't have to be like thy Lord in heaven, right? Like we need to talk to God. We've been looking at how, who God is, him as a father, the relationship that that means for us, the relationship he wants to have with us. We've been looking at how to put God's will first, his kingdom, his mission before our own, putting it first, submitting to that in our lives. But some of you guys may be sitting here through all of this and thinking, but does he care? Does he care about what's going on tomorrow? Does he care about what's happening this afternoon? Does he care about that meeting that you have at work or the stress that you're dealing with or that conversation you have to have with your kid? Does he care about the fact that your new child woke you up at 4 a.m. this morning? Does he care? Does he care about what's happening at school? Does he care about that test? Does he care? I think at one point or another, a lot of us think of this question. Does God care? What does he want to hear from me? What do I tell God? As we go through the Lord's Prayer, the answers to these questions become very clear through a very small statement right in the middle of the prayer. And the statement is, give us today our daily bread. In Matthew 6:11, it says, give us today our daily bread. And I don't know about you, but whenever I'd look at this prayer, I'd always wonder, I was like, this always just seemed like the smaller thing in the prayer to me. Like, you know, the first part of the prayer is like this huge, epic thing going on, right? Like, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I love mission and I love stuff like that. So I'd get real pumped and then I'd see, you know, I'd gloss over, give us today our daily bread. And then I jump right to forgiveness because the Lord knows I need that. Okay, so I jump right to that and I'd go right over, God, give us today our daily bread. But this statement is not small. It's important and it's vital in this prayer. It's vital in our prayer lives. You know, the interesting thing about this phrase, this word daily, for a long time, the Greek word, now stay awake, don't fall asleep. The Greek word that meant daily, they debated about it for a long time. And because we like to debate about things, that's just how we are. But mainly because they couldn't find this word anywhere else. And so everybody debated about, did it actually mean daily? Maybe it meant weekly? Yes, we have really pointless arguments, okay? So we're arguing about what this word means until a while ago they found this word in a document from around the time the church would have existed, the early church. And they found the word finally. And you know what it was a part of? It was a shopping list. It was a shopping list, essentially. The phrase said, remember to get your daily provisions. Okay, it was like you were going to Giant. That's what this was. And this is important to us because it means that this phrase literally means, God, provide for me what I need today to get through this day. Provide me with what I need today to get through this. And this is powerful because this means that the God of the universe, the God who made you, the God who created everything, the Father who is holy, who has a plan for salvation for this world, that huge God cares about you. See, it means that God cares about our daily needs. God cares about what we need. God cares about this afternoon. God cares about tomorrow. God cares about this whole week. God cares about what you're thinking about right now that's distracting you. God cares about all of it. He cares about every part of your life. And I think it's easy for us to say this, but not really believe it. I think deep down inside, if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of us will turn to God, we'll tell God things, but deep down inside, we really think, you know, God cares a lot more about the big spiritual things than whether or not I'm stressed out while talking to my kid today, okay? Like deep down inside, I think we really do have this view of God that he's this big God who, yeah, he'll help us, but he doesn't really care about all that small stuff. Yeah, I watch a lot of sitcoms because I enjoy them and I laugh and have fun. And one that I used to watch for a while was this show called How I Met Your Mother. I don't know if we have anybody who's ever watched it. Maybe? Am I alone? Okay, there's like five people. So I used to watch the show, and there's these two characters in the show, Lily and Marshall. And they're this married couple, and they're awesome. Marshall, I want to be his best friend. But like, they're this great couple, and they're the couple that kind of gives the main character, Ted, advice all the time about his relationships because, well, he sucks. So like the whole show is just messed up, and they've given him advice. They're great friends. But at one point in the show, they have this baby. And they come back from having the baby, and they're sitting down, and this normal instance where Ted's about to ask them for advice happens, and they stop Ted, like, Ted, we have a baby now. We can't care about your tiny relationship problems. And you go, unless it's an 8 or higher, don't tell us. Okay? Some of you guys are like, these are horrible friends. Some of you guys who just had a baby is like, that is genius. Okay? But here's the deal. I think we can view God like that all the time. That when we come to God, if we bring things before God, in our heads we're thinking that this God in the universe is up there and he's saying, I don't have time for the anger you're dealing with today. I'm the God of the entire universe. I don't have time for that meeting today because I'm the God of the universe. I think sometimes we think God has an 8 or higher rule. But he doesn't have an 8 or higher rule. He cares about everything. He cares about your whole life. You know, a good example of this is in a story that we see in Exodus with the Israelites, where God literally provides them daily bread. Like, it's not a metaphor. It literally happens. Okay, and he brings Israelites, and to give you a little background on this, the Israelites had just escaped Egypt, right? And so they've been running around for about a month and a half, and we come into this part here in Exodus 16. And it says this, the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, there we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they can follow my instructions. This is a classic Israel moment, okay? Classic Israel moment. They're complaining about something, okay? So they're grumbling about something, and I don't know about you, I read that phrase, and I just, like, hear drama in my head, okay? Like you should have left us to die, okay? But I think that's misreading that. I think often we can come to Israel with this image of a kid in the back of the van when we're driving on vacation saying, are we there yet? And then 5 minutes later they ask, are we there yet? And you wonder if your kid ever had eyes, right? Okay, but this is not what's happening here. This is not what's happening here. When the Israelites escaped Egypt, they didn't have time to prepare for 40 years of adventuring. They grabbed what they could, they ran, they went out through the Red Sea being chased to death, and they've been running ever since for the last month and a half. In this wilderness, we're not talking berries and singing squirrels, okay? We're talking sand and rocks and desert and desolate places. So these Israelites are in desperate need. They are in real need of food. They are getting hangry, okay? They are in need right now. And the interesting thing about this story is that God doesn't come down on them. He says, I'm gonna provide for you. I'm gonna care for you. I think what this teaches us is that God really does care and that we can bring anything to God. We can come to God with anything we need. Even in those moments when we're struggling and when we're bringing it before God, we're literally arguing in frustration with God. God doesn't care. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to tell him. He cares about every single part of your life. He cares as much as when you're suffering to put food on the table as he does when you're just suffering to get your kid to eat food this morning. God cares about all of it. He cares about every single part of it. He cares about your stresses, your anxieties. He cares about that meeting tomorrow. He cares about that doctor's appointment. He cares about how you parent your children and what's happening with that. Kids, he cares about your school. He cares about all of that. He cares about every second of your life. We can come to him with anything, absolutely anything. See, God wants us to come to him with anything, and then he wants us to lean on him. God wants us to daily lean on him. He wants you to daily lean on him. God cares, and he wants you to lean on him. I think this is why when the Israelites call to him, he doesn't yell at them, but he says, I'm going to make it rain. Because God knows that they're in need, and he wants his people to turn to him and lean on him. It's also why God says, I'm going to use this to teach them how to follow my instructions, because God knows, whether they realize it or not, that they cannot live one day without him, and they need him, which means they need to lean on him and stop trying to do life on their own. There are harder things coming for the Israelites, and God knows if they turn away from him and try this on their own, they're going to regret it, and they need to lean on him. They need to turn to him. God's trying to teach them, you need me. Even in the stress this morning, you need me. In that conversation yesterday, you needed him. You need God in every part of your life, not just the big stuff, not just the revolutionary stuff, not just the crazy stuff. We need God when we get cut off on the road. We need God everywhere. We cannot do this on our own. We need to lean on him. He wants you to come to him. He cares about you. I don't know, how many people here have ever been on crutches? Anybody? Like, okay, so, I've never been, no, I'm just joking. So I've never been on crutches, mainly because I don't think I do enough adventurous things to hurt myself. Maybe I should do more. But I had a friend in high school, his name was Zach. And he played soccer, and Zach used to get injured all the time. And I remember one year, it was about our freshman year in high school, Zach was playing and just like wrecked his leg and like broke it real bad. I was told there was bones showing. It was bad. And so he was on crutches, and he had a cast, he was going. But before he had got injured, we had committed to go to this concert. It was this band called Project 86. I don't know if anybody knows them, but they were fun. They were hard. We enjoyed them. And we were committed to go to this concert. So we went, even though he was in crutches. And so we're standing there, and things are getting crazy. There's this thing that got started. It's called a mosh pit, okay? I don't know if you guys know what that is, okay? I encourage starting it during worship, just to throw out. So mosh pits, they get a little crazy. There's some arms flailing. Sometimes people do backflips. There's a thing called a circle pit. It is as terrifying as it sounds, okay? And this is what we're experiencing, right? So we're on the outside of this because, you know, that's not a place for a guy on crutches. Okay, so we're standing on the outside, but these two guys get this smart idea, and I don't know what they were thinking. To this day, I am still confused by the whole situation. But they grab my friend Zach, and they pull him up into the mosh pit. And so I'm like, my friend's gonna die. And so I'm freaking out, and he drops his crutches. So I pick up his crutches, and I'm trying to figure out what to do, and I can't find him in all the people, but I know that he's kind of come out on the other end. So I run to the other end and like wait for him. Now, I couldn't get to the actual mosh pit because there was a lot of people, and all I see is Zach like crawling out of the mosh pit. He's like getting up, and he finally gets up, and I'm gonna try it. You can take videos and laugh at me later, but okay, he's like hopping on one leg, okay? Like the whole way back to me. And he finally gets to me, and I give him the crutches, and he puts them on, and then we kind of crawl away and move forward and go get a hot dog and talk about how crazy our lives are. And that's kind of what happened. See, the thing is, though, all of us in life are Zach. We don't want to admit it, but no matter who you are, you're going through life with a broken leg because you cannot do it on your own. A lot of you guys right now here this morning are trying that. And you're like, Zach, you're just hopping, one-legged, wobbling all over the place, feeling like you can't take what's coming at you right now. And you're trying to do it on your own, and you're letting it build up so much so that even the small stuff drives you crazy. It's because you keep trying to do life on your own and not leaning on the God who made you. We cannot do one thing without God. We need him always. We need to lean on him always. We need him to walk forward in life. We need him to live. We need him in every situation in our lives. So we need to stop trying it on our own and go to the one who cares about us. Turn to the one who loves us. Turn to the one who's all powerful. Turn to the one who can destroy anything, stop anything, deal with the big issues and the small issues. We need to start leaning on the God who cares about every ounce of your life. Give us our daily bread. God wants us to turn to him, to stop trying to do it on our own, and finally say, God, I need your help. This is what I need. This is what I need help with. Please help me. And we need to do it every single day. That's why it doesn't say my yearly bread. It says my daily bread. We need to do this every day. Turn to the God who cares about us. Turn to the God who can help us live life like we were made to live. We need to turn to God because he cares about every single part of your life. So give every single part of your life to him and stop trying to do it on your own. Now, the incredible thing about this is as we start to give this over, and because God cares about us, this incredible truth means something even more important for us. See, because if God really cares about everything, then it means we can trust him with everything. We can trust God to provide what we need daily to do his will. We can trust God to come through for us. We can trust God to help us get through this day. We can trust God to help us get through tomorrow, to get through the next day, to get through the day after that. And we can do it in a way he calls us to do it because he can help us, because we're not on our own. We can trust him. You know, as we look at the story of the Israelites, this is exactly what we see, right? He comes, he calls out to them. He says, I'm going to throw bread down on you. There's going to be meat. The passage says it was quails. I just love the image of a lot of quails like charging the Israelite campsite. Just keep that in your head as you read the passage, okay? So this is what I love envisioning as we go through this. And God comes through. He says, I'm going to give you bread in the morning. I'm going to give you meat in the evening. I'm going to take care of you each day. You're not going to need for anything. I'm going to help you. I'm going to take care of you. And then even on the seventh day, right, God has this thing called the Sabbath that he gave the Israelites, this day of rest. He even plans for that. He considers that. He says, I'm going to give you double on the sixth day so that you don't need to go out and search on the day that I told you to rest, but you can stay, eat your food, and spend time with your families and do what I've called you to do. It's this incredible part of the story. In Exodus 16:18, it says this. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Everybody's like, yeah, that's a lot, an omer. Yeah, I got that, right? No, it's like 2.5 liters, I think. I looked that up. Don't pretend like I know these things. Okay, so, but they got what they needed. It says that people didn't need too much. They didn't need too little. The people who needed this much got this much. The people who needed that much got this much. That God provided exactly what they needed. So we can trust God because he cares and he makes a plan. See, God plans for our daily needs. When we call out to God, when we give things over to God, he has made a plan for how to get you through that day. He has made a plan for how to get you to the end of the day and into your bed alive and well. God has made a plan to get you through that meeting. He's made a plan to get you through what's going on at work. He's made a plan to get you through what's going on in life. God has made a plan to provide your needs to you. And there's going to be times it feels like he's not giving you what you need. But he is. God has made a plan. He knows the perfect plan for that day, even when you don't. You know, recently, our youth group, took a rappelling trip in the fall, and he's here, which is awesome. This guy named Dutch, he's a great guy. He's in the back. He's probably going to hate me now, which is fine. But he's a fantastic guy, and took our youth group out. I met him through Craig Merrifield, and was a great guy. He was like, you have to go with this guy. In my head, I'm thinking, off a cliff, that's not great. But then we made a youth group trip to go. And so we went in the fall. It was a ton of fun. We brought the adventurous students along who weren't afraid to die. And then we went on this rappelling trip. And I have this thing in life that often happens. It's called present Josh versus past Josh, okay? So what this is often past Josh will commit to something, and then present Josh will look back and say, you are a moron, okay? That is often what happens. And I had this Friday night before this rappelling trip. Listen, those of you guys who know me know that I am not the type of guy who's often like, oh, let's go off a cliff. That seems like fun. Like, that's not me. I think we naturally are, you know, held with this idea that, you know, going off large things down to a fall drop, not necessarily a big drop, is not necessarily what we should be doing. So Friday night, I actually started to get really nervous about this. I'd never done rappelling before. And so I started to get nervous, and we showed up Saturday morning, getting ready to go. And of course, I have to pretend like I'm not nervous because I don't want to make the students nervous. And so I'm trying not to. I don't know how well I did. I'm pretty sure Craig knew. So I was freaking out a little bit on the inside, okay? So we get over there, we get stuff going. I'm holding my helmet with dear life. And we get up to this part of this cliff, and I think I have a picture of it. It looks like that, okay? So that's what we were doing. Okay, some of you guys who are smarter are like, that's big. Some of you guys are not, you know, that's great for you. But so I'm freaking out a little bit. And so we're sitting there, and Dutch starts to go through his plan of what we're going to do. Like, he starts to walk us through what we need to do. In my head, when we were going, I was thinking, we're going to get these huge harnesses. And then Dutch hands me these ropes and has this check and tells us to, like, tie this around us and shows us how to do it. And, like, and some of you guys are making faces. In my head, I was thinking the same thing. I'm going to die today. And so I'm freaking out a little bit on the inside. And so we get up to the top of the cliff. The students go down. You know, I waited a little longer because I wanted to make sure the students were okay. Which was a horrible idea because I am freaking out, okay? And so students are going down, and it's finally time for me to go down. And I won't forget that moment when I went down because, you know, going over a cliff is usually a pretty memorable thing in my life, okay? So we went over, though, and I made it down fine, okay? Probably somewhat fast, I don't know. I felt like I was flying because I wanted off that cliff faster than anybody else, okay? But I went down, everything was fine. I'm alive, I'm here, okay? I'm standing before you. And we all had a blast, it was a great memory. The thing is, I was doubting Dutch and his plan, which was just ridiculous because Dutch knows way more about rappelling than I do. Okay, if I had led the trip, I would not be here, okay? So he knew what he was doing. I think often we do this with God's plans. We think God's winging it. We think he's not planned out in detail how to take care of us. The leaders on that trip had a plan for how we were going to get down that cliff alive and fun and have a great time and experience some really cool stuff as a group. They had a plan for that. It worked because they knew what they were doing. God has a perfect plan for how to provide for you. When you call out to him, he's not just winging it. God's saying, I've got this. I've got a plan. This is how it worked out for the Israelites. That he provided for them each day with no fail. He provided for them. God's got a plan for the situation in your life right now. He's got a plan for the thing you're stressed out about tomorrow. He's got a plan for the thing you're stressed out about this afternoon. He's got a plan for everything you need. See, then out of this, we need to trust him with that plan. See, part of trusting God is more than just giving it over to him. It's also trusting him enough to follow him, even when we're unsure of what's going to happen, even when we're not sure what he's doing. See, because God's got this perfect plan. He cares for us, and that means that we can trust God enough to follow his plans. This is what he asks of the Israelites. He says, here's my plan for how I'm going to feed you every day, and I need you to follow that plan. I need you to follow it to the T. And they have a problem with this. The Israelites don't do this very well. They start to follow the plan, but then one of the days, some people try to hoard food, okay, because they're not sure they're gonna get food the next day, and then that food doesn't work, it falls apart, it rots because they're trying to do it on their own, they're trying to do it apart from God. And then on the sixth day, they come up, they store a bunch of food, but some people don't really trust that God's gonna do what he said he's gonna do the next day, and so they get up and they go out looking for food, and all they find is sand, okay? They don't find anything because God gave them what they needed and they needed to trust him. And this is the first point in the story that God actually comes back at the Israelites with some rebuke. He comes back and he says this, "The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out.' So the people rested on the seventh day." See, God basically says to the Israelites, guys, why are you trying to do this by yourself? Why are you coming up with your own plan? You can't do this. You've called out to me. You've given it over to me. Let me do what I do. Just follow me. Follow what I tell you. Follow what I instruct you to do with your life. Just follow me. He says, give control to me, Israelites. Give control to me and just follow me. See, some of us are great at giving it over to God, but then we have a hard time actually giving the control to God. We have a hard time following the plan he gives us. We have a hard time listening to him, following him, going along with what he gives us each day. It's a struggle. You know, when I first started driving, I remember I got in the car, and one, my dad only taught me for a little bit because that was a mistake, and we switched over to something else, and I got a driving instructor. He was a very nice guy, and so he was teaching me, but I remember the first time I got in the car with my mom, and I started to drive, and you know, I'm like, oh, this is going great. I haven't hit anything. So I'm driving, and I look over, and my mom's like death gripping the door, okay? Like holding the door real hard. I thought she was going to break the handle, okay? She was holding it really hard, and she did that like, some of you parents can get along with this, okay? She did that thing where every time I made a turn, she like looked around to make sure that like the wheel hadn't fallen off. So she kept checking and looking around, and she sometimes like quickly yell instructions to me out of like emergency of death. Okay, like this was kind of the experience. And I will say, she had good reason for that. 16-year-old Josh driving, you should have been afraid. Okay, so, but we often treat God like a 16-year-old driving a car. We get in, we give them the control, but then we have a hard time keeping that control with them. We keep doubting every step of the way. When God does something we don't expect, we're like, God, what are you doing? And then we try to do our own stuff. We try to take control of the situation. We start processing everything that could go wrong and how we're gonna fix absolutely everything. And then everything still goes wrong because we're trying to do it ourselves. We're trying to do our own plan apart from God. And that just doesn't work. See, this whole process of daily praying to God and giving it over, giving trust over to him, that means every day we're turning to God and saying, this day is yours. Here's what I need. Here's what I'm stressed about. Here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I'm scared of. God, I'm giving it over to you. And then God says, give it to me, and then just worry about one thing, and that's how can I be like Jesus Christ today? How can I live like Jesus? How can I follow God? What does God want me to do today? That's the only thing we worry about, we concern ourselves with. How does God want me to interact in my family? How does God want me to interact at work? How does God want me to live? How does he call me to live? How does he call me to treat people? How can I love like Jesus loved? How can I care like Jesus cared for people? That's what it means to give up control to God. It means that I'm giving you my needs. I'm giving them over to you. I'm turning to you. I'm crying out to you saying, God, this is what I'm struggling with. And then we keep walking the way God tells us to walk. And then if we get distracted again, the worry comes up. Instead of focusing on that need, focusing on that worry, we immediately stop and we turn it over to God again, because I hate to tell you guys, we're gonna have to do this over and over and over and over again. If I've learned anything, it's that I need to pray to God a lot during the day, okay? We need to turn it over to him, because the things that we need in life, they are important. But if we hyper-focus on them, if that's all we care about, we lose sight of what God's trying to do with us. We lose sight of the plan God has for us, and we start to do everything we can to make sure those needs get met. And it distracts us from what God's calling us to do. You know, Glenn said a line a while back in this series that stuck with me. If we knew what God knew, we'd want to do what he wants us to do. That was my paraphrase version. Don't hold me to that. That was somewhat like what he said, okay? But it's so true. So we need to daily keep submitting what we have to God. Waking up in the morning and saying, God, I've got this meeting today. I've got to run my kids to 7 different places because they're really great at sports. I've got to run my kids here. I've got to do this. We got to get dinner ready. God, I don't know what to do. Just take this from me. Help provide what we need today. And then just keep going through and doing life the way God calls you to do. It doesn't mean that you ignore responsibilities. It doesn't mean that you just sit down on the couch and wait for things to happen. It means that you live your life not focusing on what's going to come and focusing on what God wants you to do when it comes. It means living for God every second of every day. And when we get distracted, we turn to God again and we say, God, I'm distracted. Or when God does something and we don't understand it, it's okay to sit down before God and say, God, what are you doing? God, I need this help. But then when we're done with that, we get up and we keep trying to follow God. We keep going the way God calls us. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, or not in the Lord's Prayer, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer is within that. And Glenn's been talking over this series and has mentioned a couple times that the Lord's Prayer is not separate from what's happening in the Sermon on the Mount. There's a lot of connections. And in Matthew 6, that's totally true. As Matthew 6 comes to a close, there's this passage that we all know very well. And it's this passage about, you know, that God has created the animals. He's created creation. He's created everything. Why are you worried? He cares so much more about you. He cares more about you, so he's going to provide for you. Stop worrying. Stop focusing on all the things you're unsure of and start focusing on the one thing you're sure of, God. And Matthew 6 ends this way. It says in Matthew 6, 33 to 34, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It sounds so similar to how the beginning of this prayer funnels with this line that we're talking about this morning. God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give me today my daily bread. Provide for us. So this is what's so important about the way that this Lord's Prayer flows. The way that it goes, it's so important because it's us saying, God, I trust you. Here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I need. And then focusing on his purposes, his will, his mission every single day and trusting him to take care of the things that we can't deal with. Trusting him with the small things, with the big things. It means every second of every day saying, God, this is what I'm struggling with. And then turning around and focusing on how you live like Jesus and following him. God says, that's your main worry. Follow me, live like I call you to live, and I'll take care of the rest. And if there's something you need, if there's something you're struggling with, it's okay. Be honest with me, talk to me, tell me, give it over to me, and then just keep following me. I promise that I'm never going to abandon you. See, God never abandons us. This is why we can trust God to take care of everything so we can do what he calls us to do. It's because he never abandons us. There's this incredible verse at the end of the Exodus passage, at the end of this story that we often gloss over. It's in verse 35. It says, the Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to the land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. 40 years God did this. I'm 27. That's older than me. And some of you guys are like, well, duh, you're young. Okay, but like 40 years. 40 years. Everybody hearing that? God did this every day for 40 years. He gave them bread in the morning. He gave them meat in the evening. And he kept them alive for 40 years. And when we have a bad moment in the day, we think God's forgotten us. And I'm speaking as much to myself as anybody sitting here this morning. God never will abandon you. He has not abandoned you. And you can live the way he calls you to live because he is always with you. He cares for you. He loves you. And whatever you're worried about this afternoon, he's going to take care of it. Whatever you're worried about on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, he's going to care for it. He's going to take care of it. He is there. He is with you. And he's never going to let you go. So give it over to him. Give it all over to him. I don't know what any of you are struggling with today. There's a lot of people here, and I can't tell you exactly everything you're dealing with, but I can tell you that God cares about it, and he cares about you, and he loves you, and he wants to help you. So stop trying to do it on your own and just give it over to him. Stop worrying about it all and just give it over to him and follow him. Don't wait one more second. Just give it over to him. Stop trying to deal with it. Stop trying to worry about it. Stop trying to figure out how you're going to fix it. God will help you. He's got you. He's never going to let you go. Trust him with everything, every second of the day, and follow him. So the question is, what does God care about? The answer is simple. You. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this group of people here in this church and just everything that you do here, Father. I thank you for that. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the way you care for us, the way that you help us, and the fact that you love and care for every second of our day. Father, I just pray that you just help each one of us today to just turn to you. Father, you are incredible. You are loving and you are all powerful, and I thank you for that. I pray that you just help each one of us to turn to you, to lean on you today, to lean on you this week, to lean on you tomorrow, the day after that. Father, just help us each to do that so that we can follow you. I pray this in your son's name. Amen.